time to tell the neighbors the Charlie Evers Show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Yes, he's on, all right. Boy, the sky is turning blue outside, and oh, it's just great. But earlier this morning, we had fog, and we had a condition they used to call skip. And on the scanner, you could hear the Columbus Police Department and police departments all over the state. And then our signal was overcome by a 107.1 in Columbus. And that lasted a while, but it finally faded away, and now here we are in our wholesome self, you might say. And blue sky. Oh, my goodness. Blue sky. None but blue sky. Oh. Okay, now today's questions and statements are, I have to watch very carefully how I word everything. So you're going to get an earful today. But it involves, once again, our turkeys and chickens, yes. And it could also involve some other farm animal. But let's get started. First of all, if you had a group of domesticated turkeys on your farm, what would that group be called? What do they call a group of domesticated turkeys? Yeah, that's the kind that go to market. That's what we have on our Thanksgiving table, a domesticated turkey. But if you had a whole group of them, what is that group called? You know, there's different names for ducks and geese and groups. But there's also a name for a whole group of domesticated, not wild, but domesticated turkeys. And if you want to see a group of them, unless they've all been turned into Thanksgiving meals or ready for meals, north on Route 61, north of Galleon, you'll find Albright's Turkey Farm, and you'll find all these domesticated turkeys there. And in the field, you'll find a group of them. And what would that group be called? What's the name given for a group of domesticated turkeys? You see, by the time I'm done with this program, you're going to go into a supermarket and you'll know everything there is to know about turkeys and chickens. Stay tuned. Okay. After, and what am I going to give away today? I don't know. Let me see. I got a t-shirt, a large one, for my large friends. Plus, I've got all these tickets to the Zoolites. All right. And so, what else is new? It's not as cold this morning as it has been. And it is going to warm up a little today, and that's nice. Blue sky all over the place. Oh, my. And our signal's really good now in the outlying areas. That 107.1 in Columbus has finally faded away. Now, that's a regular full-power station. And that's not a non-profit type like we are. That's a full-fledged station, and we're lucky that, well, it's, of course, the FCC plans all this, and so they designate who goes in onto what channel that will be the least interference to the next guy, you know, and so forth and so on. Okay, so A group of domesticated turkeys is called what? Now, here's an easy one. Here is an easy one. All turkeys have gizzards. Chickens do too, don't they? What is a turkey's gizzard used for? I know you'll find them at some turkey or chicken places. You know, they include that on the menu. So many of the gizzard. So I've never eaten a chicken gizzard. Have you? What do they taste like? But what are they for? What's a chicken gizzard for? I can't. And if it's for the purpose, which I am asking you to tell me what's the purpose of the gizzard, and when you find out what it's for, you can't imagine eating it. So anyhow, what is the gizzard for in a chicken or a turkey? I know you can Google that up one side and down the other, and I'm just waiting for my Googlers to come through. Okay, and then we have, I've got some dandy questions here. By the way, we lost one of our best listeners in a long time, Mrs. Haas. You know, she passed away over the weekend. And now I see an old friend of mine died that I knew back when I was in the farm business, Blank's Agri Service. You remember that? Blank's Agri Service in Marion, the home of the CanSun continuous corn dryer. Dick Forrest, he owned the Blank's Agri Service. And then he left Marion and for 20 years went south. And he had attained quite a good status in agriculture. My goodness, he was, in just about everything involving agriculture. But his obituary is in the paper today. He was, about 5 years or more younger than me. And Dick Forrest, a lot of you farmers listening will say, yeah, I remember him. And the grain dryers that he sold. He also sold fertilizer, of course, and applied it. But the big thing was the CanSun, that's K-A-N-S-U-N, CanSun continuous flow corn dryers. And there's probably still dozens of them in use today, with proper maintenance. So Dick Forrest passed away here in recently. All right, now. Let me see here. I have not got an answer on the gizzard. That's strange. What is a gizzard used for in a chicken or a turkey? You don't know, do you? But say, hey, give me about six of them gizzards. I'm hungry. But they do sell them at the chicken places in Marion. You know, the one on East Center Street there that used to be one door away from where we used to broadcast from. Lee's Famous Chicken. They sell gizzards. But what is the purpose of a gizzard in a chicken or a turkey? Now, I've eaten chicken livers unknowingly. Now, you'll find, if you go to a high-class buffet, you'll find a bacon wrapped around this funny thing, and I decided I'd eat that funny thing. Well, it turned out that's chicken liver. Yeah. Chicken liver with bacon wrapped around it is a something you would find in a high-class buffet line. And it's not bad, but once you find out it's a chicken liver, then your thought starts, you start thinking, does that taste like liver? Now, I like liver and onions. Ooh. I can remember years ago, Harry Wickersham, Louis Wickersham's brother, raised cattle, and when he had one butchered, he would bring to our door a pan full of beef liver. It was all fresh. It wasn't even cold yet. And Harry used to give those livers to us. It was really good. But a lot of people really can't stand eating liver of any kind. Okay, now, we move right along here. Since we can't find yet what a gizzard is for, how about this? Let me see. What is a capon chicken? What is, and here, let me tell you the story. On Route 23 in eastern Pennsylvania, it's the same as R 23, it stretches a long way, all the way from near Philadelphia to land knows where. But there's a town on Route 23 by the name of New Holland. Now, there's some New Holland farm equipment in Marion County, and the tractors are blue. I think the way it worked, the Ford Tractor Company kind of merged with New Holland, and they're built in New Holland, Pennsylvania. Okay, so going through New Holland, which we do every year, we decided to stop there to eat. And so I opened up a menu, and it said capon chicken. I think it said, was it just capon? Yeah, I think it said capon chicken. So I ordered that. I thought, well, I like to order things that I don't really know exactly what it's all about. So what is a capon chicken? I found out. Now, can you tell me what a capon is? 10:23 is the time. And, and of course, everybody is watching the evil goings-on in Washington, D.C., and, Mrs. Pelosi, she wants to get Trump out of there. Oh, my goodness. She's trying, and, boy, I tell you, I wonder who her makeup specialist is. Of course, anybody, you know, that reaches that age needs a little extra doing. But anyhow, it's supposed to be a wild, here we go. This might, let me see here. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, it says that it's a capon chicken as a cock pearl that's been castrated.
That's exactly it, yeah.
And, Charlie, I am appalled because I feel so bad for a lot of these birds. I went on to read that in countries like Spain,
yeah,
these birds are force-fed. And I actually watched a video once about that, and it was just disgusting, inhumane, and appalling.
Well, that's why we do not find veal anymore in the markets. You know.
Have you ever heard of, I know I'm going to butcher the pronunciation, but Fourgroy?
No.
Oh, it's some kind, I think it's like the liver of a duck or something like that.
Okay, Patty, de foie-gras. Patty,
yeah,
de foie-gras.
I warned you I wouldn't say it right. Well, they do the same thing with those ducks, too. They stick tubes down their throat and force feed them.
Wow.
I think and you know, in some countries, not to get off on a tangent here, but some countries, people even do their children that away.
No kidding. Oh, my.
Yeah. Isn't that nasty?
Yeah, it is. And there's a lot behind the scenes that most people never learn. That's why I'm teaching today.
Well, if you go on YouTube and you type in that foie gras,
said,
yeah, you can learn all about it. And I don't know who could do such a thing.
Have you ever eaten bacon wrapped around a chicken liver?
No, I've never eaten any kind of a liver.
Well, that's different. Oh, you would never eat a liver?
No.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't like, I like liver and onions, but not very often.
I guess if we, I don't know, if we knew what was in a lot of things, they say if you knew what was in a hot dog or a piece of bologna, you'd never want to eat that.
Yeah, well,
I eat Spam. So,
yeah. Well,
Lord
Spam
only knows what they're putting in that, Charlie.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I gotta run. Toodaloo.
Okay. See ya. All right. Okay. Oh yeah. Patty de foie gras. Yeah. Chicken liver with wrapped in bacon. That's I had when I was with the Convention and Visitors Bureau. Of course, we travel all over the country promoting Marion. Well, just a second here. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hi, Charlie.
Yeah.
The gizzard is some sort of a food processing pouch for the chicken.
Yeah, doesn't it grind?
Grain? I know when I used to clean a lot of them. And
would
sort of...
Is there meat in it?
Split the gizzard and take the bag of corn food out of it. To what you see it was full
of
food.
So then is a gizzard a kind of a muscle?
Yeah, it's sort of a sort of, you know, just like the heart is a muscle. It's something similar to that. And we used to, Mom would make what she called giblet gravy.
Yes, yes.
And use, you know, use the heart and the gizzard and things like that.
Yeah, isn't it interesting, you know, back in another time when things like that were a little cheaper to buy than we can afford now, not as many people eat gizzards and all that,
yeah,
liver,
yeah.
And yeah.
But typically the heart never got past the skillet. My mom would do.
Oh, hey, let me tell you one worse than that. A pork kidney. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can still smell it.
Yeah.
Oh, boiled pork kidney.
Kidneys just don't sound too appetizing.
It doesn't smell good either. Oh.
But a lot of the rest of the gizzard and the hearts and the livers
they're
not too bad.
Yeah,
you know,
and
chicken.
And you know, in Europe, chicken feet are used, well, yeah, I guess you can buy them in this country, too, for flavoring.
Yeah.
Wow.
and that's sort of what Mom used it in gravy, you know, to flavor the gravy.
Well, and when you think of all, you have to clean those feet pretty good because you know what they've been walking in.
Yeah. it's, you know, pretty popular in jars of it. We used to have it in the store, you know, way back in the 50s.
Okay. I was on the island of Martinique, and I went in a grocery store, and I saw these feet sticking out of paper bags.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen them sold unprocessed.
Yeah. Oh, my land.
Usually they pickle them, you know.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yep. It's amazing.
Yep. All right.
Okay.
Thanks. Yep.
Okay. Yes, indeed. And I got more stories to tell you, so you don't want to... You don't want to listen to that business going on TV, the argument about impeachment. Now, if they impeached Clinton and disavowed the election that he became president in, who would become who would become president? Nancy Pelosi? Really? No, it couldn't be. Okay. What would it be if they threw Trump and Pence out, disqualified their election because of that phone call he made to that country over there that used to be in Russia? Well, anyhow, 10:29 is the time, and stay tuned because in the next half hour we'll talk about more funny things to do with turkeys and chickens and pigs. Yes. Do you know that in some places people eat pig's ears? Yeah. Well, let's see. Yeah, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
You talk about chickens and all. I got a question that you can ask you.
Yeah, hurry. I'm about to break.
Okay, what are the colors?
Did you know Marion, Ohio is the popcorn capital of the world?
No, Scott, I didn't know that. Could you get me some?
I don't have any at the moment.
Some capital. Does anyone have a chicken places number?
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, there's so many things to talk about this morning. Egads. I once worked on a farm. Before I became farm director at the radio station, I got a lot of experience working on a farm. We raised a lot of pigs and cattle, but I worked mainly with the pigs. And, well, I'll tell you more about that, but let me see, what did I ask you? Okay, now, here we go. Okay. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yeah, what the hell is he doing, John? I got a question for you, and anybody can answer it. What is a Cornish hen?
What's a Cornish hen?
Right.
I know what a Cornish hen is. It's just a small breed of chicken-like.
Right. I hadn't seen them for a while. I used to get them. And I haven't seen some at the store for a while back. And I never heard anybody talk about them anymore.
Yeah, I think you can buy them in some of the delicatessens and Cornish hen. Yeah, I've eaten them. Yeah.
I saw some out of Table Lot here a while back.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And you never hear anybody talk about Cornish hen anymore.
No, you don't. You can look it up on Google.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. It's a small bird. Okay.
I just wonder if anybody, you don't see them anymore, so.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They're hard to find and more expensive, yes.
Yeah, they are expensive.
Yeah.
I looked at the, they weren't ever cheap back in the day, but my God, the price of them now.
Yeah, that's
know.
Right, yeah.
But okay. They're good.
Very
they're
good. Okay, yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. Now, let's go back to, let me see. Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you, too. I found this on the internet today. In Europe, there is a plane that is very similar, one being built here in America, and I've seen it. This plane is in the shape of a whale, and it's huge, and also they paint a mouth on it, so it looks just like a whale. And it's used in Europe to transfer parts of airplanes from one part of one city to another in the assembly of airplanes. And it looks identical to a particular type of whale that you would find, especially in Alaska. Can you tell me what kind of a whale that would be? You know, there are a lot of different types of whales, but this whale is smaller than a lot of them. And I saw groups of them in Cook's Inlet in Alaska. What is this? This plane looks just like one of them, only you could put about 8 million of these whale inside this plane. Now, in this country, a similar plane is used to transport, or used to be, the cylindrical tanks for rockets, because it's so huge. All right, 10:34 is the time. Now, where was I? Okay, now, I never did find out what a group of domesticated turkeys would be called. Now, these are, you know, the domesticated variety that you would buy in a store. But a whole group of them has a name. What would that group be? Okay, now, we found out a gizzard is something used by a chicken to grind grain that it eats. And I think the turkeys have gizzards, too. Those gizzards and turkeys come in that little plastic bag, along with the liver, I think, that you have to reach into the turkey and pull that bag out. If you don't, you roast the whole works, plastic and all. Which I found out the hard ways. Nobody told us there was a bag full of parts in that turkey. Okay. Well, let me see. Now, I talked yesterday quite a bit about the fact of where is a tom turkey used? Since in the supermarkets, they sell the plump turkey hens for Thanksgiving. But isn't there a tom turkey? Well, yes, there is. What is a tom turkey used for? It's used for making sausage and turkey like hamburgers and whatever. Yeah, that's the male turkey. The male turkey is used for that purpose because the meat's a little tougher than the hen. Now, so that is a tom turkey. He's used for various things you'll find in the stores, and it will be listed maybe poultry, like in sausage or hot dogs. It will say poultry. Well, that poultry usually is a tom turkey. All right, now here is an interesting thing. Now, the turkeys we buy in the stores are plump, you know, and they're reasonably priced. Now, I read one article that said stores sell turkeys at such low prices just to get you in to their supermarket and so that you'll buy that turkey, but when you're there to buy the turkey, you'll buy everything else at regular price. But I've seen turkeys, what, $1.99 a pound or less than that? Yeah. But a lot of that's to get you in the store. That's a, they used to call it kind of a hook to get you in there. Okay, now, but now, the hen turkey that you buy for Thanksgiving, you know, you hear them called butterball turkeys, or they're injected with butter. But they have this, this turkey breast is rather large. Now, if you have these turkeys, they're raising, the hens that they're raising for the market, and at the same time you have some tom turkeys, well, you would think the tom turkeys would mate with the hens, and you would have, you know, eggs and so forth. But that's not the case. I could ask, why can't a tom turkey breed the Jenny, the hen? Why can it not take place? I'm sure you don't know. Now, here's the reason. A turkey, a hen turkey, has a plump breast. They, you know, butterball, they advertise these, oh man, oh man. And here's what cannot happen. The male turkey cannot breed with the Jenny because of the physical characteristics of that plump hen. So they don't have to worry about the hens getting all mixed up and producing eggs and so forth, because the male cannot get to the hen to accomplish the breeding process because of that fat breast. Now you know. And so when you go to the supermarket, take a look at those turkeys and say, aha, never been touched. And that's the story why the Jenny or the hen turkey cannot be bred. It's a physical thing because they're too fat. They're too much of a breast. So now, mark that down in your calendar. But it's a fact of life. Okay, now we come around. I started talking about New Holland, Pennsylvania, I think. Oh, Route 23, yes. I stopped in a restaurant there with my wife, Jeannie. And I think I don't know if our kids were born yet or not. But I ordered, I saw on the menu, and I've never seen this again in any menu in any restaurant I've ever been in. It said capon. So I ordered a capon. In the back of my mind, I kind of thought what a capon might be. But I wasn't sure. And they brought me this chicken. Oh, and it was delicious. Wow. Great. Okay. So why would a capon be more tender and delicious than a regular chicken? The reason? The capon is missing a couple of parts. That's right. Oh, here we go. Just a second. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hi, Charlie.
Yes.
You told us part of the story there, but now, you know, all of those hens and all of those tom turkeys came from fertilized eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Where did they get those fertilized eggs? Tell us the rest of the story.
Oh,
guys.
Yeah. No. Skinny hens.
Must be. All right. I just wanted to know.
Yeah, okay.
Thanks.
All right. But isn't that something? Who would ever know, unless you looked all this up, that a male turkey cannot breed with a female because she's, has that enlarged breast, and it's a physical impossibility. Think about that for a while. Oh, yeah, I like to get involved in things like that, because, you know, normally people pass through life and never look to one side or the other, and I like to get you to do that. And so now a capon is a sexless chicken. They got inside the chicken and took away its male parts, so it becomes a capon, a tender chicken. Now tell me, have you ever been in a restaurant that advertises capons, a meal called with a capon? I doubt it. And this, I only, in this restaurant, New Holland, Pennsylvania, is the only time I ever saw a capon on a menu. Now, New Holland, Pennsylvania, as I said, is a big industrial town in agricultural equipment. You see New Holland tractors, New Holland combines, and now you'll see what looks like the old Ford blue tractor. It's made there in New Holland. Boy, what a town that is. And it's right in the midst of, you know, the Amish country. I remember the man who had the agricultural network, Johnson, Ed Johnson, yes. Ed Johnson had an office in New Holland, Pennsylvania, where he broadcast from there to the people in Pennsylvania, as well as back here, he had an office where he broadcast to farmers in Ohio. All right. Now, let me see what else. Oh, I know. Now, this has no, well, let me stick with the chickens and the animals for a little bit then. Then I've got a question that needs to be answered. Okay, we found out what's a gizzard. We found out you can't breed a fat hen. That's why all these roosters and or tom turkeys go around crying. And a capon is a sexless chicken. not natural, but they made it sexless. And let me see, what else do I have here? Ta-da. Yeah, that's about, oh, a group of domesticated turkeys is called what? A whole group of domesticated turkeys. Now, if you called the Albright Turkey Farm up near Norwalk, they could tell you what a group of turkeys domesticated are called, because that's what they raise, domestic turkeys. I was just past their farm not very long ago. Well, I know. I went past it on the way to the Milan Melon Festival. And that was a really a nice homespun festival with a lot of people and a lot of sidewalk sales. People bring their merchandise out on their lawns. And I got my brother-in-law, Tim Roston, bought me a thing that you put one of those Dremel drills inside to make it a drill press. They normally cost around $40. Got one for $7. Yeah. Scott, do you know what my favorite meal is?
No, Charlie. What is it?
A BLF.
What's a BLF?
Bacon, lettuce, and fruitcake sandwich. Good.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Okay, now. Okay, so we've exhausted our time with the chickens and the turkeys, and now let's go to another farm animal, and that would be the pig. Oh, pork chops, ribs, hams, bacon. Oh, boy. But now here is the difference again. Now, a fully loaded male pig is called a boar, B-O-A-R. Now, a boar is a fully loaded hog. In other words, he's got everything that he was born with. But that's not the case for the ham, all the pork that you buy in a store doesn't come from a boar. A boar meat is used for, I don't know exactly for what, but I had some once. We cooked some bacon, and it smelled like the sweatiest person that you ever smelled in your life. And that's because it was a fully charged boar. Boars smell like sweat. Oh, my. And this bacon we got, it was, I think, Dinner Bell Company, and it shouldn't have been from a boar. But I'm sure it was, because it smelled like, we almost had to get out of the house because it smelled like underarm deodorant. Woo! Or it would smell like underarm sweat. Okay, now here's the difference. A male pig, fully loaded, is called a boar. A boar mates with the female, the sow. Okay, but if the boar doesn't have the apparatus, he doesn't breed with the sow. That's left up to the professionals, you know. But then all the little piggies that are born, some of them are male, some are female. Well, how do you fix them so they don't become boars? Now, we know the female's fine. You don't have to worry about the sweaty smell from a female pig. But the little piglets that are fully loaded, that is, they have their sex organs, you have to do something to them that will turn them into a a defenseless little piggy. And so what is done, the back end of that little male pig is enclosed in a thing that exposes only its male parts. And you take a sharp knife and clunk, and that poor little pig squeals like crazy for about a minute. So you slosh on it not insecticide, but germicide. And then you have an animal that will become the finest tasting ham, spare ribs, or whatever you want. But if it was allowed to become a boar, then you'd have a sweaty mess on your hand. But boars are used for mating, if they're purebred. And boars can be used for other types of meat, but I don't know which exactly that you would use a boar for, because of their strong taste and smell. Maybe I need to find that out. But I can tell you, I once worked with little piggies. And I didn't do the cutting, but I was there to hold the pig while the cutting took place. Ooh, my. I feel so sorry. The little squeals came. Oh, my. But anyhow, the squeals gave way to a perfectly calm little piglet. All right, now, moving along. If you have any questions on anything I said today, give me a buzz. Because, a lot of people don't know these facts. And so many things, as you can see from what I've said, involved male, female, or the male with its parts removed, and so forth. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. But it all results in such good-tasting meat. Wow. The plump hen turkey, the hen turkey that you buy or are going to buy for your Thanksgiving dinner. And then your ham, your spiral-cut ham. That spiral-cut ham doesn't come from a boar, that is for sure. Oh, boy. But a thing of beauty, you might say, is the pig that reaches its maturity, which would be, 160 or 70 pounds, market weight, and they're raised by the thousands, of course, in these hog facilities. And because of the fact that they're all pretty closely regulated as their breeding goes, when they get to the slaughterhouse and cut up, their parts are uniform. In other words, and when they get to a grocer, it's like, here's a pork chop that, you know, is large, here's one that's medium, here's one that's small. And nowadays, they're all alike, because the hogs are all alike. 10:52 is the time, and how are you? Okay, any questions? 740-333-9944. Okay, can you tell me, I've got some tickets to the Columbus Zoo I could give you, as well as some coffee cups here. What would you call the domesticated group of turkeys? That's the last question on herkies and turkeys and chickens I got today. What do you call a group of domesticated turkeys? 740, you want to call the Gerber Poultry Company or Albright Poultry and ask them? There's a company over in Western Ohio that raises high-quality turkeys, too. Wow, plump, delicious. Yes, Thanksgiving's coming up, and you can remember old Evers and his talk about turkeys when you're eating that delicious turkey and dressing. How do you like your dressing? What do you like in it? Some people put hickory nuts in their dressing. Some put oysters, like I like. Ooh, I can eat oysters any time of the day. I like fried oysters, and I've eaten the raw oysters, but what's the use of eating a raw oyster? There's no taste to it. It's just, they slide down your throat rather easy. But unless you fry an oyster, you don't get that good flavor. Oh, my. I went to here's a caller. All right. Caller, go ahead.
The turkeys, is that called a rafter?
Yes, it's a rafter. Yeah. Hey, you're right on the ball.
Well, thanks to Google.
Oh, yeah. Do you want a prize today?
Well, do you have any more of the zoo tickets?
I certainly do.
Oh, sure. I would love a pair.
Okay, you get a pair here. And, again, your name is...
Sarah Burgraff.
Yeah, Sarah Burgraff. I should know that she was... Okay.
It's me again, Charlie.
Okay, Sarah, fine and dandy. Thanks for participating today. Did you learn anything?
Yeah, I learned so much listening to your program. I don't know if I ever get on Jeopardy, Charlie, I'll be a millionaire thanks to you. All right, toodaloo.
Okay, Sarah. Okay. Oh, yeah, Sarah Burgraff. Yes, it's called a rafter. A group of domesticated turkeys is called a rafter. Let me put down here zoo tickets for Sarah. Today, it's the 15th of November today already, the 15th. And when is it Thanksgiving, the 25th or 24th? Or when is I can't remember. After all this talk about turkeys, and I can't remember for sure the date of Thanksgiving. Oh, here's a caller can tell me. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie, you still trying to find out what they call the younger male pigs after they work on them?
The male pig after they work on them?
Yeah, after they castrate them.
Oh, well, all I know is they're pigs.
I thought maybe you wanted to answer where they castrate them.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you know the answer?
Do what?
Do you know an answer?
They castrate them, is what I'm...
Yeah, right, they castrate them, right.
Yeah.
And if they didn't, they would not taste like they do.
Yeah, they'd be a regular boar hog if they...
They'd smell like underarm sweat.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Okay. Yeah, as I was saying, after the farmer cuts the little pig and sloshes on the germicide... So it doesn't get infection. It squeals for a bit, and then it's all over. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yes, after they castrate them, then they're called a barrow.
You're right, a barrow, yes. Yes, yeah. Indeed. Do you raise hogs?
Yes,
okay.
I have, yeah.
Yeah. And do you castrate them yourself?
Yes.
Okay. They squeal for just a little bit, don't they?
Yeah, for a little while.
Yeah. In the slosh, do you slosh germicide on them then?
Yeah, I spray them with like a iodine or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, right. Very good. There's nothing like a good tasting a bit of ham or from a castrate.
Sometimes they do it now with these big outfits, like at 2 weeks of age.
Oh, is that right? 2 weeks? Now, is it?
Most times, like 8, 9 weeks, something
yeah.
like that.
Okay, now, when hogs are raised, like we have a lot in Marion County, in these big 1,000 units, when they're removed from there, then a couple of weeks later, they're castrated, those that need to be?
Oh, when they're out of the, after they come out of the farrowing unit?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, like say they do it like at 2 or 3 weeks of age before
okay.
they even move them out of the hothouse.
Now, is there, does the farmer do this or it does?
Yeah, they got workers in here that's all they do.
Okay, yeah, all right.
But you talk about when they take them to market, it's like 260 to 280 pounds.
Okay, 280, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're pretty well even, aren't they? When you go to a store, these pork chops look identical, more or less.
Oh, yeah. They're within 5 or 10 pounds of each other.
That's
when
right.
They load them out.
And that way, the merchant, too, he can sell them a lot more regularly, you know. Yeah, everything is even. Yeah.
They take a lot of them up to Michigan to a big packer unit. They do like 20,000 in a couple of days.
That's right. Now, the Horde Company is connected to some in Michigan, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
it's like the largest processing plant in the United States or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Does Kalmbach have a facility up there, too?
I don't know if they do or not.
Yeah, but boy, there's a lot of hogs raised around here, right?
Yeah, they do it 24/7.
Yeah,
there.
Wow. That's something. And power failures. Now, do all the facilities have generators?
I bet, yeah, I'm sure they have.
Just about have to.
They yeah. about have to, yeah.
Very good. Okay, well, hey, thanks a lot.
All right.
Okay, all right. You know, I recognize his voice. Great, okay. See, that's what I like. I like to be able for people to learn things. I had to learn a lot when I became a farm director many, many years ago. And I can remember Blank's AgriService was one of my customers and selling grain dryers and fertilizer. And Dick Forrest, his obituary is in the paper today. He left Marion and went south for about 20 years. But he was involved in all the professional organizations with agriculture. Wow, something. Well, we're going to pause now for a few minutes. We'll be back with more of You Never Know What after the news.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place, from legendary comedian Orson Bean singing the Baloney Song.
Two Irishmen and a Hebrew, one went out for recreation, and they took enough provisions along to spend a week's vacation. But they got lost out in the woods, the nights grew dark and lonely, and at last all of their food ran out, except a piece of baloney. Now one of them said as he picked up a knife, there's no use in us carving, for if we do, there won't be enough to keep us all from starving. So I suggest we go to bed, and tomorrow, said Maloney, whoever has the nicest dream wins the piece of baloney. The following morning when they awoke, a quarter after 7, one of them said, I had a dream, I died and went to heaven. St. Peter met me at the gate, riding on a pony. No, I don't think you can beat that dream. I win the baloney. The other one said I had a dream too, and mine was a world beater. I also died and went to heaven, welcomed by St. Peter. He rushed to me, held out his hand, he said, hello, Mahoney. No, I don't think you can beat that dream. I win the baloney. The Hebrew said, I'm dreaming too. It's a dream that couldn't be sweeter. I seen you both go up to heaven, welcomed by St. Peter. I waited and waited and waited around, and oh, yeah, I got so lonely. I didn't think you was coming back. So I got up and I ate the baloney.
To legendary stand-up comic Marty Allen.
You know, Marty, one day we'll flip. You can host the show.
Oh, okay.
I think it would work okay. I think you could handle that.
Well, I'd love it. Thank you, Scott.
Yeah, we'll do
but
that.
But I'm not changing my name. It's going to be Marty Allen. I can't go on and say I'm Marty Spears.
Legendary confetti-throwing comedian Rip Taylor.
Well, tell me about the sparkly jackets. Where did they come from?
Cleveland.
Okay.
Well. Everything came from the mall and Marion and Cleveland. Everything. Stop getting me laughing. It's too early.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. Streaming live on the net at www.wwgh1071.com. Find us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like for exclusive content.
Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage, crtmechanicals.com.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions, don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from The Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship